I was very curious about the issue of people not being treated.
Right. So, you know, we maybe in academia, you know, we have clinical trials and we have all kinds of options that we've, you know, tried to have for our patients to help associate with better outcomes. But realistically, even with all those efforts for many, many years, decades really, we didn't make any real improvements in this disease. And so when folks went back and actually looked at what's the real world population like for older AML patients, we were very surprised to see that, in fact, the majority of AML patients in the United States who are over a certain age, I think it was 60 or 65, are not offered any treatment at all. And to us, that's very surprising. But realistically, when you look at this with a very clear-eyed view, it's understandable. Outcomes are awful. And, you know, once either a practitioner explains that to a patient or makes a decision on their own that the outcomes are so poor, then there's not much enthusiasm to treat patients. And I think, honestly, that's understandable. It's sad, but understandable.
I have to say that it almost seems not believable because I just assumed everybody's getting hypomethylating agents.
Right. Sure.
I mean, so why would somebody not use, a 70-year-old patient? You're saying a 7-year-old patient would not get anything?
That's right. Yeah. I think the issue with the hypomethylating agent is that, yes, that's the de facto standard of care for older AML patients in this country. And that's what most of us would do short of a clinical trial or some other option. But I think when you look at the real numbers there, it's pretty disappointing. We're talking 20 to 30% response rate, and those responses lasting 9 months at best. We're talking about a survival that's less than a year or around a year. And then we're talking about major inconvenience. So, you know, a lot of these patients that don't live near a major medical center, they have to be at an outpatient infusion area for 5 to 7 days in a row every month, not to mention all the supportive care, the transfusion support that would be required. So when you factor all of those quality of life issues in, plus just the reality that these treatments really don't work very well, I think you can understand why people aren't offered any treatment.
I do understand it, but again, just sort of thinking about oncology practice, and it's a shame because we just had a working group in here of oncologists last week. I could have asked them, but we're always coming up with questions. It's unbelievable how many times I hear things that I've never heard before that seem so huge.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it's just me, but I still, you know, kind of find it surprising. So you're saying there may be otherwise healthy 75-year-old patient who's what, going to go into hospice immediately on diagnosis?
Yep. Yeah. Or, you know, maybe just get transfusion support.
Palliative care.
It appears that that is actually the norm in this country, which I'm as shocked as you are, or I was. Yeah.